It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 622. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Great show lined up. I have lots of things to talk about. Going to talk a little bit about my trip to Germany, and I'm glad to be back and a wonderful time. Weather, it rained every day, but not real bad. I had some really good days during the day. Maybe it rained at night. And during the festival, it rained a lot on Sunday. Thank God I had boots, because there was deep mud at the Hurricane Festival. I have emergency stories from the trenches that happened while I was traveling that my team was again able to maintain. This is amazing. My second trip in a row where I'm out of the country and lots of things happening. Something I want to talk about for that I'm sure many of you who are consulting or in the IT business where you're supporting multiple clients. Why do clients not contact us when they're buying a printer? I don't get it. I got lots to talk about on that, and how I'm going to sculpt craft a email that I'm going to send everybody to kind of get them thinking that, you know, please include us, because it just goes ugly really fast. And I have stories about that. I have three emails, so not a lot of email. Some of them are long, maybe three or four to catch up. Before we get started, Instant House Call is the best remote control software that you can have in your repair arsenal for your clients. I relied on that every day while I was in Germany, because I had some work. Even though my team was doing a great job, there were still some things that I needed to fix that I was able to remote into my clients and take care of it. And I was out of the country. That is very important. You need a tool like that at your disposal to support your clients. You can get Instant House Call and try it for 15 days for free by going to instanthousecall.com or click on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. And when you're downloading, enter the promo code Mike Tech Show, because that lets Instant House Call know where you heard it, and you heard it here on the Mike Tech Show. The DC Unconvention 2017 is September 16th and 17th over the weekend in Washington, D.C. It is brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder. It's sponsored by Malwarebytes TechBench. That's a tool set that's an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. Malwarebytes will be there. I will be there. Many other of your favorite podcasters will be down there. We have the speakers lined up, the agendas ready, and you can check that out at unconvention.io. www.unconvention.io. Look at the schedule, get your tickets, and you can save $40 by using the code MTS for Mike Tech Show. That'll save you $40. I will see you there. As many of you know, I left on the 21st, I think, of June and came back July 1st. I went to Germany via way of Iceland and Reykjavik Airport on Icelandair Air. And the flights were great. And we had a really good time. The flights, everything was comfortable. We had excellent service. But when I landed on at Hamburg Airport on Thursday of that week, my son, Ryan, he received his bag, but I did not get mine. Now I'm up at a counter waiting in a long line where I find out that my bag is still in Iceland and is not going to make the plane until the same plane the next day on Friday at 1 o'clock. It'll be delivered 1 p.m. Germany time, which I'm going to be at the first day of the festival, the Hurricane Festival, which is the main reason Ryan and I traveled there. That was a three-day music festival that was spectacular. We had a tremendous time. Now, my boots were packed in that suitcase. So one of the things that I was glad I was able to survive Friday by wearing a shirt from my son. My son lent me in socks, but no boots. And my sneakers, although a little muddy, did survive. I got my luggage on Friday when I got home back to the hotel. My luggage was there. And that was over a series of emails during the day Friday communicating with them. They did do a great job of getting me my luggage, and I was only out one day, which was great because I desperately needed those boots for Saturday and Sunday. As a matter of fact, I made sure that I knew where a big and tall place was that I could go to in the Bremen, Germany area, and Saturday morning, I would have hit a store and just would have had to spend money on getting clothes for the weekend and then hope that I would get my luggage. But I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to go through that big expense. We just had a great time. The festival, Green Day and Imagine Dragons closed it out Friday night. Blink 182 and Linkin Park closing out Saturday night. And then Sunday, lots of bands that I wanted to see, including The Antwood, Mondo Dio, and Jennifer Rostock. So there was lots of foreign bands that I wanted to see on Sunday. One of the challenges was Wi-Fi. I'm at a Courtyard Marriott in Bremen, Germany. It was very, very slow when I was remoting in to a client machine through my test system here. The screen response was slow. I was able to get everything done that I needed, but the Wi-Fi wasn't as great as I had hoped. Now, outside and at the festival, actually, my cellular plan was great. So here's a tip, and this is the tech part of the traveling. First off, make sure you notify your phone company that you're traveling. Now, my son Ryan uses T-Mobile, and he had unlimited international roaming. It was great, and he had tremendous connections. For me, with AT&T, you have to invoke the international plan, and you let them know what countries you're going to. It really doesn't matter. Just your $10 a day international to utilize whatever your existing data plan is. So I have a very robust data plan for my other two sons and my wife and I, and we're not big data hogs, so I had plenty of data, and actually, I didn't even consume as much data as I thought I was, but the cellular access was really, really good, and I was able to make and receive a phone call or two for no extra charge. I was able to use the cellular data. I texted a lot, and that's what we're going to segue in here. That was my only source of communicating at sometimes with my staff and my clients in managing some of the emergencies that I'm going to talk about. And remember, there's a 6-hour time difference. I'm 6 hours ahead of everybody here. We had a tough time navigating the train systems at first because my biggest takeaway, if you go to a foreign country, you need to know enough of the language to be able to navigate the rail system or however you're going to be traveling, whether it be signs. So my youngest son wants to go to Tokyo. And I said, we'll go there. I want to go to Japan. But one of us, hint, hint, as I looked at him, he's the one who wants to go. I said, has to be able to read Japanese. Not fluently enough, but enough to recognize things. So we're taking the right train. We're doing the right, we're going in the right direction. You kind of have to have that down. And it took us a few days, especially just going back and forth to the festival. That was easy because it was just one train from Bremen to Seagel, which is where the Hurricane Festival was held. And once we got that down and learned how to buy the tickets, and it was in English, you could pick English, but even English, it's not easy. You got to know like the main train central stations for where you're going. There was an abbreviation like HBF. So if I wanted tickets to go from Bremen to Hamburg, I needed to be able to punch in Hamburg HBF because you're going to get a lot of options that you're not going to know. But HBF was the German designation for central station. These are just tips, little things that you need to know when you're traveling. And there were, I would say, a third of the people knew English. When I would say, sprechen Sie English, I would get one of three responses. Either no, nein, or I would get a little bit, they would say. And these were usually merchants that knew just enough to be able to communicate with the transaction. And then there was the third response, which I really loved, which was, but of course. All the restaurants had an English menu that if you asked, I was able to order. You know, we were able to actually see everything in English. That was really good. It was my first time ever traveling to Europe, and it was a great experience. We had a wonderful time. We made it back safe. All you can ask for. Now I have like extra euros. I got to go back to my bank this week to get that reconverted to U.S. dollars because a U.S. dollar was worthless to you. It was only euros, and there wasn't an opportunity to even use a U.S. dollar. Where it's different if you're in Mexico, in Cancun, everything was U.S. dollars. It was like they didn't even have the peso. Everything was in U.S. dollars. All transactions were U.S. dollars. You have to do a little research. Where are you going? The customs, the money, and all that I was ready for, except the trains. That was my one negative, that I didn't do enough research. Lesson learned. That's why I wanted to share it. So now, while I'm away, the first emergency was one of my bigger clients. They have a peer server that's Windows 10 Pro to just share files. There's a QuickBooks database manager on it. That's why it can't be a NAS. We also need Shadow Protect desktop backing up every night. There was enough need to have it as a regular peer workstation rather than a full-blown server or a NAS. And this was established a few years ago. We just recently went to Windows 10. They had a massive couple of power outages. This is where I have been slow to deploy UPSs for this client, and that's my mistake. That machine went down hard on one of the power outages, and it did not return. While I had my son, Michael, working a crashed operating system for a title insurance company, Ken, my senior tech, I had to deploy to this company to try to get it to boot, and he was texting me, and I'm like, there's no joy on him trying to do a couple different things, but he whipped out his Hirons boot USB. Now, I don't think Hirons has been updated in a while, but this thing does work and can help you and should be part of your tool bag. He booted with the Hirons, was able to go into safe mode. Safe mode fixed the problem. When he exited, he was able to reboot cleanly and got into the system. Then I had him test the Shadow Protect to make sure Shadow Protect would back up. Now, Michael, on the other hand, it's a Windows 7 desktop, and he could not get it to boot. Don't know if it's a stuck update, what's going on. So they brought that back to the office here, and Ken met Michael back here, and it's a solid-state drive. I said, here's what I want you to do, guys. Take the solid-state drive out of the Optiplex, then put a new solid-state drive in. Let's get them to Windows 10. because I really, really, really want to start moving them to Windows 10, but I knew we were going to have a QuickBooks issue on this computer. Since we're taking the time to redo the system, let's make it Windows 10. We use the Windows 7 Pro key that's on the Optiplex, and it activated for free, no trouble. So I'm still not having any issues with activating. As a matter of fact, my son, his laptop, my son Ryan's Toshiba laptop, Windows Home, Windows 7 Home Premium, I put a solid state drive in over the weekend when we got home. Matter of fact, on Sunday or Monday, I did that for him. And because he brought that to Germany, and that was pathetic. It was such a slow boot, slow everything. I said, you need a solid state drive in this. But I took him to Windows 10, and I used the key that was on the Toshiba, and it activated, no problem. So now they got the system up with Windows 10, and I said they could take that drive, and they brought it to my computer right here, used a USB cable to SATA to USB, and they were able to read everything perfectly. Use FABS Auto Backup to get everything from the external drive back on to Windows 10, but not QuickBooks, because they are QuickBooks 2010. This I was concerned about because I'm not talking to my client, but when Michael Jr. delivered the system, he spoke with the owner and they agreed that they really should be going to the latest, greatest version of QuickBooks, which is what I'm doing tomorrow afternoon. I am going to be on site updating them from QuickBooks 2010 to QuickBooks 2017, and I will get 2017 installed on this new Windows 10. There's only four systems that need it. And now they're in a position, because that's the last piece of software that doesn't work with Windows 10. So everything else works with Windows 10. And now they're in a position when if we get a new system, we can deploy Windows 10. I don't have to worry about 7. Two real positive stories. Monday, the client that had the power failure, I had them buy, and I will put it in the show notes, from Amazon, 6 smart UPSs, like 130 a piece, that comes with the PowerShoot software and a USB cable. Monday afternoon, my job is to go to the server and the other 5 systems and make sure that the UPSs are working and the software is working with the cable. Well, I'll work with the timing, so this way it'll do a clean shutdown when there's a power outage for those systems. Taking care of that. One other emergency, literally happening all around the same day or two here. Dental office running EagleSoft software, and there was an update or something happened with EagleSoft that started putting these very large files on the peer server, and they ran out of space. So one of the things that I was able to do was I have all my information always available to me on Evernote. And Evernote was just an incredible godsend while I was in Germany in sharing information that my son or Ken needed. So Ken needed the contact information, license information, because he's doing this remotely via instant house call on the peer server. I said, you need to talk with tech support of EagleSoft, get them to remote in with you so you can see what's going on. They did. They were able to clean it up, cleaned up all the space, got a tremendous amount of space back on the peer server, so we don't have to worry about that crashing. That was another problem. There were several other minor ones, but they were the big ones. And I guess one thing I need is something that's monitoring space. I got to be notified on just like these peer servers and servers. I have to take advantage. Now, the main server, I'm not worried about if it's an HP or a Dell, because I can use Dell OpenManage or actually, I don't think I have any more HP servers. Really, just Dell OpenManage can let me know an alert when we're hitting a critical space limit. I need something that's maybe free. I'm throwing that out there for space monitoring notification. That's Windows 7, Windows 10 that it'll work with. All of you, come to our aid all the time. I put something out there, I'm going to get great responses that I can test and discuss. That's what this is all about. We need some inexpensive or free or open source space monitoring where we can get some notifications at when it hits a certain threshold. Two things happened while I was away. I don't understand this. A client of mine for 9 years knows that I should be involved in every technology decision. Why would they go get a copier, another copier, printer, fax machine, and not involve me in the process at all? And then when it came time, when they installed it and there were issues, then reached out to me to fix it. I'm like, why? Then the dental office, and this is the same dental office that had the ran out of space. They bought a cheap Wi-Fi multifunction printer when I had installed a beautiful HP color multifunction system that was Ethernet. This one's Wi-Fi, and they're wondering why it's not working right. And they bought it without contacting me. And this happens all the time. Monday, I was talking to Ken about this because we go back, us old guys, we go back a long way. And why is this? And I bet you a lot of you are shaking your head yes. Why is it that we're not looked at to be involved in the copier and printer decisions? They know why. I'm not going to bill them to weigh in on this. Just an email saying they're thinking of doing this. Oh, let me see your decisions. I might send back an email. What are you looking to increase or do? Or do you want color now? Or do you no longer need faxing because you're using e-fax? A couple basic questions. And I'll make sure they have an Ethernet solution that will work within their environment. Now we're spending a ton of time, and to these clients, it's billable because it's extra and it's over and above the retainer on trying to help them through this. As a matter of fact, what should have been a couple minutes ended up being 3 hours of support for my son, where he had to have the user get on FaceTime so they could talk and identify things on the printer. It was ugly. We must craft a letter that is sent, a carefully crafted email to all of my clients that communicates we should be involved in the process and to get them thinking of their IT support when they're buying a new printer, when they're buying a new copier, any multifunction device. We need to be included because my clients never pick the right device. And there's always an issue. And I've told them. And it just doesn't get through. And I want to know your experiences. Have you been in my seat like this? And have you communicated this via a letter? Share that with me. And I will share that with everybody. If it's not the next show, the one after, we will have a sample draft of a communication to your client to make sure you're involved in the decision and rollout of these technologies that were overlooked for some reason. And I don't understand that. And this is very common, and it's across the board. It's everyone. All right, let's get to a couple emails here. And this is a follow-up from the last show a couple weeks ago. And it is Kate, and it's Safe Mode from show 621. Thank you for the tip for starting Windows 10 in Safe Mode. I am thrilled with that information. And I don't think it's a bad design. That's where you got to stop the boot 3 consecutive times. And on the 4th boot, you can get into a menu. This is totally great news for people fixing laptops and tablets that don't have removable batteries. A laptop with a removable battery will often boot into the RE, the recovery environment, if you unplug it. Remove the battery, press the on-off switch a couple times without a power source attached. Of course, put the battery back and or plug it in and to actually restart. I don't know if you can reset the world in that way without being able to remove a battery until I listen to your podcast. There are also other ways to get into safe mode, even when you can't boot to Windows 10. The most obvious one is to boot from the recovery drive you made when you set up your Windows 10. Oops. Okay. That's one lesson. The other, and this is great, is to use F8. Yes, you can still use F8 if you have the presence of mind to enable it before you need it. When I set up a customer's computer, I enable it. However, you want to get there, open an elevated command prompt. Type bcedit /set, and then brackets the word default /boot menu policy /legacy, and then press enter. I will have a link to that. When you do that, you now have the F8 option, but you got to do it before you need it. So this is now part of our regular Windows 10 deployment. We are enabling the F8 because you never know if you're going to need it down the road. It's a great tip. Test it before you leave. Once in a great while, it doesn't work. Two of the three times that happened for me, it was because I forgot I needed to be at an elevated command prompt. The third remains a mystery. I understand this wasn't acceptable to you when you were having the problem with your stalled update, but if you can get to the login screen, clicking on the power button icon and holding the shift while you then click on restart will start in safe mode. Prior to Windows 10 Creators Update, Shift F8 worked on some systems, but Creators Update took care of that, eliminated it. She has a link for some more ways, which I'll have in the show notes. I'm not a big fan of some of the changes, but I've come to accept, at least most of the time, that it actually pays to find the new way to do things. Usually, there's a way, and usually someone knows what it is. That tip was a great example of that. Thanks again, Kate. Kate, thank you for your tip that I'm sharing with enabling the F8, and I tested that. As a matter of fact, I hosted the Windows SIG of PAX, and that was the Saturday right after the Saturday right before I left for Germany. I actually demonstrated that on my Windows 10 laptop, and of course, we did a lot more. This is from Jim. Not sure if this is applicable, but just wanted to give you my experience on Windows not booting after an update. I have had several problems with the Windows spinning dial on an all-black screen after an update. For me, it seems that there is a USB conflict after an update. Unplug as many USB devices as you can and reboot. Specifically, my experience is with some Dell machines and Logitech wireless mice, but I would not rule out other manufacturers or other USB devices. This is a great tip, and I did not do this. When I unplug the wireless mouse receiver, the machine finishes the update and boots properly. My advice is to try booting with only wired USB keyboard and mouse or none at all. Once it boots and once an upgrade process completes, it seems to be good until the next major update. Good luck. Thanks for all you do with the show. Jim, great tip. In the heat of battle, I did not unplug all my USB devices, so I don't know if that would have fixed the boot on my system, but that's a great, great tip. Kevin sent in a link regarding your June 15th, 621 show and the fun getting to the Windows recovery environment. This shows the ways into Windows 10 recovery environment. Just in case 1,000 people didn't send you this yet, hope you had a great time in Germany. Kevin, thank you so much. And I will have that link. Final email for the night. Computer setup. When you purchase a computer for a client and set it up beforehand, what steps do you do? I know you prefer Dell, and I'm going to purchase a couple of desktops for my first small business client. Do you remove all of the Dell software installed? Not all of it. Their backup and recovery. I only keep the Dell drivers and the Dell management of the devices. One of the things that I do leave is the digital download. That's because the client or you may purchase something at a discount from Dell, and that's how they deliver it. Like sometimes it's great to take advantage of their Adobe, the full Adobe purchase discount. At least that's what I used to do. Reinstall Windows from scratch? Nah, not if it comes with Windows 10. But I'll tell you, I've been buying a lot of refurbs that don't have an operating system. And there I install it from scratch, where I'll take out the mechanical drive, put my own SSD in, boot from the Windows 10 that was made from the Windows 10 Media Creation Utility. I boot, and then I run the install from scratch. So if it's a refurbed, I'm doing the Windows from scratch. If not, I just tweak the Windows the way it's installed by removing the bloatware, which he says, do you remove the bloatware? Reinstalling a clean version of Windows would violate terms and negate the warranty. That is correct. I love the show. Thank you. A couple things I do. I have a series of Windows 10 tips that we've put together for my team when we touch a Windows 10 system. That's making sure all the defaults are the software that we want. We have a pre-discussion, what Office version do they need, and do they have the license, and make sure that's provided. I try to talk them into a Malwarebytes license, and so I'm installing Malwarebytes because I'm a reseller, and I'll put Malwarebytes on. I will remove any antivirus software that Dell partnered with and forced down our throat. But if it's an Optiplex and a business system, I'm configuring that online through a portal that my reseller provided me that I can get the new Optiplexes without the bloatware and without that. That's a nice, see, the Optiplex is a business class machine. And if you buy it right, you're not going to have the bloatware. You're not going to have the antivirus. You may have a trial version of Office. And if you do, you got to remove that if you're going to be installing Office 365. Don't think that the one that came with your system, you're going to be able to activate properly, even though they have a true activation. I've ran into that. That's an issue. You got to install it from the account's login of their Microsoft account. You have to get that Office install, and that's the one you run. So I uninstall anything that's there. Then, and this came up in the chat, Nine Night. Nine Night is incredible. I go there and I have my company defaults that I use. 7-zip. I make sure Java. I make sure usually the Malwarebytes comes down with that. I can check PDF Creator. That's one of my defaults. And there's a bunch of other ones. VLC, I always install on systems. So there's a few open source programs and some few free software. I go to Nine Night, the free version at ninenight.com, and I download. Then it's updates, updates, updates. You make sure Windows is activated, and then you just do the updates. The only thing missing here that you've asked for, Joshua, is my tip list of what I go in for checks for Windows 10. And I will ask my team, we kind of have them in a couple places, but I'll ask my team to compile that and put it together, and I'll make a PDF and then put that as a download for a future show. Just, you know, hey, take it. There's some of these tips. It's the power options. It's turning off the power options for the network card so they won't go to sleep. I have lots of little basic Windows 10 tips, turning off some of the phone home back to Microsoft for the data. Lots of little things I will check. That's it for tonight's show. I want to first thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link for supporting the show. That's amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back and helps support the show. I really appreciate that. amazon.micnation.net. Please share that. Use that. It really helps. I want to thank my sponsors, Malwarebytes TechBench, Instant House Call, the affiliates that I have relationships with, Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, incredible, use it all the time. Tech Site Builder, techsitebuilder.com. This is where if you have a tech site that's got to go online and live, that's where you begin. The Computer Business Kit version 3. There's actually a contract in there that I need to get activated because of something else happening. This is a great resource for all those forms and all those things to help you get your business launched where you have the proper documentation and forms. That's it. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Hopefully, I'm on a regular schedule now for the next several weeks. I'll see you all back here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.